What's up, everyone? I want to tell you about a car that you are going to love. Check it out. The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, I love that, available dual wireless charging pads ensure that you can take on any adventure. So let's say you're ready to take the family on a camping trip or something like that. The Santa Fe is perfect for you. You've got all-wheel drive. You can load everyone up in the third row. It's time to start being adventurous, and you need the right car, and that's the Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
This is Fantasy Football Today from CBS Sports.
On his way to the end zone.
I'll tell you what, that was a spectacular play.
It's time to dominate your fantasy league.
What a play! Off to the races! Touchdown! Oh, he's done it again!
Now here's some combination of Adam, Dave, Jamie, Heath, and Ben.
It'll be the Bengals and the Chiefs. No, it'll be the Bengals. I have a sinking feeling right now. I'll tell you why. I'm totally distracted. Made a huge mistake to start the show. It'll be the Bengals and the Rams in the Super Bowl. Welcome to the show, everybody. I forgot my laptop, and I am useless without it, as you can see. Can't even get the matchup right. I'm Adam Azer with Jamie Eisenberg and Heath Cummings. Heath, welcome back from your week off. How are you?
I appreciate you setting this show up for my return. This is going to be awesome.
Oh, why? Because I already messed up?
You're literally wiping sweat from your brow, trying to figure out how you're going to do a show without this laptop.
Right in the middle of right before the start, I was like, oh my God, I forgot my laptop. I have all my notes, a lot of notes on there. I got to get to that.
No, you're not allowed to go get your laptop. You're doing the whole show without it.
No, I really need it. I have like some good stuff on there.
Nope.
I guess I could try to read my notes from the email I sent. Okay. All right. Here's the first segment, according to my notes.
You know what happened one time during FFT? We started the show. Our normal producer was not there and somebody else was producing the show. This is the show on HQ. And we had no rundown at all. Mm. And to do a TV show without a rundown is very difficult.
I remember that.
There's graphics elements and things that have to, you know, tie into other things. And so usually, you know, just a peek behind the scenes for those of you who watch the show. I usually do most of the A block, which is the beginning of the show. I usually put that together myself and they just build it. So thankfully I had all the order, but I had no idea what was happening, nothing that was going on. And like, so Heath would be talking or Dave would be talking and I'd just be gesturing like this, like somebody tell me what to do, like a crazy person.
Yeah, that's how I feel right now. Well, I sent
but
that.
But I did it and you're going to do it too.
No, I'm getting that laptop one way or another. All right, Heath, settle a friend fight. That's the first segment for today. Settle a friend fight. And also,
well,
let me
are
just.
Friends?
What's that?
Who are the friends?
Me and you.
We're not friends.
We're friends. Everybody knows it. All right, so let me tease what's coming up. We're going to talk about the games. We're going to talk about the coaching news with Josh McDaniels going to the Raiders. And a couple other items here. We're going to ask questions for each losing team. What will be the Trey Lance effect if he is the starting quarterback in 2022? And should Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce be first round picks? Should they be early second round picks? We'll talk about that. Really, if you look at their season and you add it, the way you evaluate them, are you going to add the three postseason games? Because they had huge playoffs, but they slumped a little bit late in the season, really midway through the season. Anyway, that's coming up later. Heath, settle a friend fight. And Jamie, if I'm phrasing this incorrectly, you can jump in. Was Jimmy Garoppolo's game-sealing interception a bad play, or was it understandable?
Well, I mean, Tyreek Hill was in double coverage, and it was third and 10, so I could understand why you don't, you're not talking about the Patrick Mahomes interception at the end of the game.
No, I'm not.
Listen, I think it was both. It was definitely not advisable, but what were his chances if he throws that ball away of converting a fourth and 12? Not very good. And the ball did hit Michael Hasty's hands, right? So he could have done something about it. I think there's a little bit too much of, yay, now it's Trey Lance time. And Jimmy Garoppolo deserves a little bit more credit for what he's done in San Francisco, both this year and over his career.
Okay. So who do you think, thought it was understandable? Who do you think thought it was a stupid play?
I think that Jamie thought it was a stupid play and you thought it was understandable.
Correct. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you asked me about it before the show started, so he knows which side we were on. I think the way you phrased it is appropriate, though. I do think it was understandable, him trying to make a play. I get to play the results, so I win. So, you know, as I told you last night, you want to have the ball with another chance opposed to...
He should have done what?
He should have thrown the ball away.
I think people would really be mocking him if he had thrown the ball away on 3rd and 12, though.
Well, I'm saying throwing the ball away when there's somebody draped on top of you, you know, as opposed to throwing it backhanded, you know, trying to connect with your running back.
But where was he going to throw it? Like at Joe Michael Hasty's feet? You could
anywhere,
do that.
But anywhere where it would not have been intercepted.
Yeah, but I'm saying he was being taken to the ground, so he couldn't, you know, get a throw.
Yeah, but
he had
several plays like that early in the game where he was being taken to the ground and he's throwing the ball away.
I don't know.
I understand what he's trying to do, which is, I think, the way you phrase it is appropriate. You know, he's trying to make a play, obviously in a terrible situation. And first off, Kyle Shanahan did not call a good game there at all in the second, the latter part of the third quarter and the fourth quarter. You know, once they went ahead 17-7, it was just, I don't understand what he was doing in a lot of instances, and stop putting Trent Williams in motion to be fullback. You're right, Heath. Jimmy Garoppolo deserves a hell of a lot more credit for what he's done for this team and what he did for his tenure in the 49ers. I don't necessarily think it's completely over yet, though. I don't know exactly if they're going to move on if they're not compensated fairly, because, I mean, they've shown it time and time again throughout the playoffs what their record is with Jimmy Garoppolo and without Jimmy Garoppolo. And I'm sure that's weighing on Kyle Shanahan probably more so than it is on John Lynch. But most likely he's gone. And I do think, like, a team that has a chance to win now, let's say like Pittsburgh, you know, if Denver does not get the prize that they're looking for, you know, this is the type of guy that can get them to the playoffs. Not necessarily, I think, maybe win a Super Bowl if he's not in the right system, but can certainly get a team to the playoffs and be good, and be good for some of the fantasy assets there as well.
Okay, we'll do the hypothetical later in the show. If Trey Lance is starting, what would it mean for the rest of the guys? Here's your stat of the day. This is a little bit irrelevant. We have an Apple Podcast question that's sort of about this later, but I just thought it was really interesting, so I'll throw it out there and then we'll move on. Your stat of the day: 2021 was the first season since 2015 in which the number one wide receiver outscored the number one running back in full PPR. Or another way to put it, the top non-quarterback was a wide receiver in 2021. It was obviously Cooper Kupp. It's the first time that's happened since 2015, which was that really weird, bad year for running backs where Devontae Freeman was the number one running back. So I thought that was interesting, and we will discuss it a little bit later. Let's get a fantasy winner from conference championship weekend. Heath, who's the winner?
I thought you were asking me the loser.
Jamie, who's the winner?
I thought you were asking me the winner.
Iowa, yes.
there's a couple of options that I was thinking of when I saw your email on this. I'm trying to think of somebody who's improved their fantasy stock from this weekend. And it's hard to say Odell Beckham didn't do that. You know, and the only reason I was a little hesitant to say him is because I don't know where he plays next year. Now, there is a story that came out over the weekend that the Rams, once Jared Goff and DeSean Jackson, I think maybe one or two of their defensive guys come off the books, they have $30 million in cap space to use on potentially re-signing both Von Miller and Odell Beckham. Now, clearly Robert Woods should be back. You know, that's the hope. And if they do re-sign Beckham, does he have the chance to build on what he's established? Remember, I know, Heath, you brought this up. I think it was going into the – I don't know if it was coming – maybe it was coming out of the divisional round or going into the divisional round. You know, when you brought up what he was averaging, the same amount of yards with the Browns that he was with the Rams through that whatever timestamp it was. But he's made plays for them, you know. And I think, you know, without a training camp, it's basically a half a season, you know, of learning on the fly. You've seen the growth and you've seen the trust that's come from Matthew Stafford. And if he stays there as the third guy, which would be, I think, unfortunate for Van Jefferson, for example. But if he does stay there, that, I think, hurts his fantasy value because of Woods coming back. But has he reestablished himself now that if he's in a better passing attack, can he be a viable fantasy option again? And I think the answer is yes.
That was his first 100-yard game in 34 games. And he had 9 catches, 113 yards on 11 targets against San Francisco in the winning effort. And he will be in the Super Bowl facing the Bengals. I know the Super Bowl matchup. All right, so Odell Beckham, a winner for you. right now, let's say Beckham's back and Woods is back. Would you rather have Brandon Ayuk or Beckham?
Beckham.
With Woods back?
Yeah.
Ooh, that's a tough one. Probably Beckham because of Trey Lance, but I think it's close. Okay. If Trey Lance has a strong preseason, then I'd probably go Ayuk.
By the way, if you're listening on Spotify, please leave us a rating. We'd really appreciate a quick 5-star rating on Spotify. You can do that there. There are a lot of apps where you can do that, and Spotify is one of them. So go ahead and leave us a nice 5-star review. We would appreciate it. Heath, who's that fantasy loser? You know I was going to ask you about that.
I think it has to be Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I mean, last postseason, we made excuses. And he was banged up, and we said, well, that's the reason why Daryl Williams was playing over him when it mattered the most. And that's the reason why Daryl Williams even played more snaps, I believe, in the Super Bowl last year. This year, it's now Jerick McKinnon, who just came from out of nowhere. And all credit to Jerick McKinnon. He looked really good for majority of this postseason. But McKinnon had twice as many carries as Clyde. He had twice as many targets as Clyde, and he was better on a per-touch basis than Clyde was. It's really hard to go into next season with any confidence that Clyde Edwards-Helaire is going to be anywhere close to a feature back.
Yeah, Clyde last year, though, he didn't return to the Super Bowl. He missed the entire playoff run last year.
So he didn't play in the conference championship game?
No. That was Daryl Williams against the Bills and the Browns. He had a very, very good playoff run.
Give me a round where you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes, because McKinnon's a free agent. It's on a 1-year deal.
It's not about McKinnon.
Yeah, I know
it's about
saying it. Yeah.
Like any random guy you could now believe is going to take touches away from Clyde.
So yeah,
he made the same mistake last night, Heath. Don't worry. I said the same thing. He fell into the same trap.
No. I wasn't correcting anybody. I was just telling the audience that Jerick McKinnon is an impending free agent. But where do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire should be drafted? As of now.
Well, who's the number two guy? Is it Daryl Williams-esque? Is it like that type of guy, Samaje Perine, that type of guy? You know, not necessarily they're going out and they're bringing in somebody. You know, they're not signing Melvin Gordon, for example, or James Conner, for example. You know, one of those type of guys. So if it's that, you know, reliable veteran should start or go down, insert name, then I think round five is probably the right spot. You know, you're taking him in the I didn't draft a running back. I drafted one running back in the first four rounds. I need a second guy that's going to get work and has still some upside. That's the type of player you're looking for. Flex, if you know you really love your team, you're shooting for some upside. Yes, he still has upside, but there's so much downside, unfortunately.
Adam, you can fire up the Heath Adam was right take. Clyde did play in the conference championship game last year, 49% of the snaps against the Bills.
I thought so, yeah. Adam, you were right. Sorry, Heath, it takes me too long to get that going. And I'm just now recovering from the laptop thing. You know, I've got it here. And so I can tell you about the awesome offer that we have from ButcherBox. If you go to butcherbox.com/FFT, you're going to get 2 pounds of ground beef free in every order for the life of your membership. Free ground beef for life. Butcherbox.com/FFT. Heath, tell me, how are you enjoying ButcherBox?
And I absolutely love ButcherBox. I've got 15 pounds of ButcherBox wings currently sitting in my freezer, as well as 2 pork butts ready for the Super Bowl. Now my freezer is completely full, which is great because I think it's actually energy efficient because you have so much meat in your freezer that you don't have to use the freezer as much to keep it cold because the meat keeps itself cold. It's like a bunch of ice. It's fantastic. We get it every single month. Sometimes 1 box, sometimes 2 boxes. It's the only meat we eat.
It is so much better than what you get at the grocery store. Not only that, they source their meat from partners with the highest standards for quality. So no more searching the grocery store for 100% grass-fed beef, free-range organic chicken, wild-caught seafood, and more. That's what you get with ButcherBox. You're taking the guesswork out of finding high-quality meat. You go to butcherbox.com/FFT. You can select one of the boxes that they recommend. You can kind of build your own box, and you just get frozen meat shipped to you right to your front door. You put it in the freezer. It's amazing. I've made pineapple chicken recently. We did a chicken with like this kind of Greek feta cheese, tomatoes, cheese. I don't even know what it's called, but it was so good. But what you have to have is good meat, and that's what you get with ButcherBox. So again, if you want, oh, and by the way, no antibiotics, no added hormones, and each box has 8 to 14 pounds of meat. So if you want ground beef for life, here's your chance. This is your chance to never have to shop for ground beef again. ButcherBox is giving new members free ground beef for life. Sign up at butcherbox.com/FFT and get 2 pounds of ground beef free in every order for the life of your membership. Log on to butcherbox.com/FFT to claim this deal. All right, some quick notes, some fantasy related, mostly though from yesterday. This is just Debo is what a crazy season he had. So Derrick Henry, Ezekiel Elliott, Alvin Kamara, or Kamara, whatever, and Austin Eckler, they all had at least 200 carries and only 3 carries all season of 20 or more yards. That's Henry, Zeke, Kamara, and Eckler. 3 carries of 20 or more yards. Debo Samuel had 3 touchdown carries of 20 or more yards. Debo Samuel. So it was amazing. 3 touchdown runs of 20 to 27 yards. He just did things that it's tough because they're not repeatable, but you also see every week he's so gifted. The Rams pressured Jimmy Garoppolo on 7 of 9 fourth quarter dropbacks per ESPN. That was really the difference in the game, one of the differences. How about this? Sean McVay has only 2 wins as a Rams head coach when he's been trailing by 10 or more points in the second half. He's done it twice. Both of them were conference championship games. This one you probably know. Tyreek Hill did not have a catch in the second half. That was weird.
So dumb.
Well, and also, I mean, you got to give credit to the Bengals. They did well. Cincinnati, they came back from an 18-point deficit. That was tied for the biggest comeback in conference championship history with the 2006 Colts, who trailed by 18 against the Patriots, and they won. And Dave gave me this one. The Bengals have played 20 games this season. They've played only 3 games where they've lost by 4 or more points. Everything else has been either a win or a 3-point loss, 3 or fewer points. So what are they right now, 3.5-point underdogs? Usually they cover. And then there's this whole Tom Brady thing. Got a report that he's retiring. He's probably retiring. They've pushed back and said, no, it's not definite yet. But I think right now, are we expecting Tom Brady to retire?
Yeah. I think you have to lean that way. I mean, there's just too much coming from that direction. Usually when these things happen, it's, you know, my guess is that somebody probably leaked it and Brady didn't want to overshadow or take away from himself, but overshadow the games this weekend. You know, the Raiders didn't care about that at all by announcing their head coaching hire on conference championship day. But I'm gonna guess Brady does walk away. You know, I think there's just too much coming from that side.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about the head coaches a little bit later. Let's get some loser questions. Talk about the losing teams. Oh, my 49ers. We came so close. All right. What will the Trey Lance effect be? Heath, that's a pretty broad question, but take a stab at it.
Yeah. I mean, first off, I agree with Jamie that until Jimmy Garoppolo is gone, I don't think we should 100% assume that Jimmy Garoppolo will be gone. But assuming he's gone, I think the Trey Lance effect is fewer pass attempts for the 49ers, likely less efficient passing for the 49ers, maybe an even better run game than they've had in the past. For fantasy purposes, I think Lance will be drafted as a low-end number one quarterback, kind of like Jalen Hurts, and he'll have top five upside instantly, but he's going to have to improve a lot as a passer this offseason, which we've seen a lot of quarterbacks do between their first and second seasons. It's a net negative, in my opinion, for Debo, Ayuk, and Kittle if Lance is the week one starter.
So if Lance is the week one starter, are Debo or Kittle round 2 picks? And then follow-up question, are they round 3 picks, Jamie?
Debo is going in round 2. I think it is a net negative, you know, to piggyback on what Heath said. But I also think if they continue to use him as a rusher, which I can't imagine they're going to go completely away from, if away from at all, then he still has the opportunity to get the ball in his hands as much as possible. And this is where you buy into Kyle Shanahan, you buy into, you know, bubble screens and, you know, Lance improving as a passer. You know, I think Lance, just to, you know, take a quick sidetrack, the Jalen Hurts comparison is very good just from how I think people will treat him. The difference is that Jalen Hurts, everything we saw from Jalen Hurts in his rookie season came at the end of the year. Most of the things that we saw from Trey Lance in his rookie season came in the beginning of the year. And so, you know, you had fresh in your mind slow build to what Jalen Hurts could be, as opposed to, oh, Trey Lance is struggling. Well, he came in week 3 and week 4 and didn't do very much. Didn't do a lot of good things. You know, we saw the rushing ability, certainly the carries that they gave him. But I think had he done some of this at the end of the season, you would have felt a little bit differently about it. In any event, I do think that, you know, Kittle, you got to be a little concerned about, you know, because you have the injuries that have been mounting for the last couple of years. So there's potential of games missed. We know how much they value him as a blocker. So he's going to continue to do that, which is going to obviously put him in some tough situations from a playing standpoint and from an injury risk standpoint. And Ayuk, you see the highs and the lows, you know, so I think Kittle is still going to be around 3 or around 4 pick. I don't think he's going to be around 2 pick because as we've seen just in the small sample size of the 2 drafts that we've done, he was not drafted in round 2. He's probably still in the top 5 conversation, which he should be at that position. But I think he's going to go after certainly Andrews and Kelsey, whatever order. I think he's going to go after Pitts. I think he's going to go after Waller. So I think he's still round 3 is probably where the spot will be for him. And then Ayuk is probably somewhere in the round 7 to 10 range.
Heath, I want to give you some Debo stats. Tell me what you make of them. So first, this is just regular season. He played 16 games. First 9 games, 17-game pace was 102 catches, 1,849 yards, 9 touchdowns on 162 targets a game. So he's getting 9 to 10 targets per game and turning that into 1,850 yards and 9 touchdowns. Incredible stuff, first 9 games. His last 7 games, his 17-game pace was 56 catches. It was 102 in the first 9 games. 56 catches, 1,035 yards, and only 2 touchdowns on 85 targets per 17 games. Now, and you can, and but the rushing was crazy. I mean, he ran for his rushing. He ran for 307 yards and 6 touchdowns in his last 7 games. I didn't do the 17-game pace for that. But anyway, he compensated, right? He still was great because of the rushing totals. But the weird thing is the routes run were not that different. He ran 31.4 routes per game in his first 9 games and 26.9, which is fewer, but does it account for that much of a drop in targets? Basically half the targets, 26.9 routes per game in the last 7 games. So I don't know. I thought that was weird. You know, they really used him so much in the run game and they stopped throwing him the ball. He was getting 4 or 5 targets a lot of games, but the routes were still there. So what do you make of that?
I just think you've seen a player who has shown that he's special in multiple different ways. And for half a season, he was an elite number one wide receiver. And for the second half of the season, he was one of the greatest gadget players we've ever seen. And so if he's got that many different ways to be successful and San Francisco has that many different ways to get him involved, then it's that much more difficult to take him away. Like it is a little bit concerning if he were to go through an entire season at 4 or 5 targets a game and 6 or 7 rush attempts a game, because that's like James White. Now he makes a lot more big plays than James White does,
right?
But it's the same type of usage. I just don't think we need to necessarily believe that's going to happen because that's not what they just did.
So there's no way he's not a top 12 wide receiver in your rankings next year, guys. Debo in full PPR.
He's top 10 for me.
Okay.
I think he'll be top 10.
Okay.
I mean, we had this conversation when we were talking about wide receivers. So I think there's going to be a consensus 6. And that's whatever order. Kupp, Adams, Chase, Jefferson, Hill, and Diggs. I think those will be the top 6 guys drafted most likely. Now, Diggs may fall out of that if people are concerned about how he finished. It's that next group of guys, and that's assuming, let's say, Brady stays. But it's that next group of guys of A.J. Brown, Mike Evans, Debo.
Yeah.
I don't know who else qualifies there.
Right. Well, Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen. Yeah. I mean, I'm leaving guys out, but you know, there's, you know, that are in the discussion for 7 through 10.
Sure. Okay. So let me give you a Brandon Ayuk stat, Jamie. This one surprised me. First 6 games, kind of in the doghouse. 96 yards and a touchdown in 6 games. He played more than 71% of the snaps only once. Last 11 games, he was a top 15 wide receiver. He was 13th in non-PPR. He was 14th in full PPR. Per game, not nearly as good, but he still was 26th per game. His 17-game pace for Ayuk in his last 11 games was 73 catches, 1,128 yards, and 6 touchdowns on 105 targets. And not a ton of targets, you know, only 2 games in that stretch of more than 7 targets. He was usually in the 6 to 7 target range. But again, for Ayuk, last 11 games after he kind of came out of the doghouse and started playing a full snap share, 88% or more of the snaps in each game, number 26 wide receiver per game in both non-PPR and full PPR. What do you think?
He's a great player. You know, it's just a matter of how much will they feature him. And I think that's, you know, the thing that switched in the, you know, middle to the beginning, you know, the middle of the season when he got out of the doghouse reportedly, you started to see some of the flashes of the guy we saw as a rookie. And so, you know, remember last year it was Kittle was hurt and Debo was hurt and he was basically carrying the passing game and he didn't have to do that this year. But it's really more of a Trey Lance thing. I don't think it's much of a Brandon Ayuk thing because he can play. You know, he certainly can produce when given, you know, 6 to 8 targets, which I think is probably within reason, especially if Debo's spending a lot of time in the backfield. So if Trey Lance looks good in the preseason and he seems to take the steps forward throwing the ball, you're probably going to end up with a bargain in Brandon Ayuk based on where you get him. It's just a matter of if you go in thinking he's a starter like we thought this year, then you'll probably be disappointed.
And finally, Heath, let's talk about Eli Mitchell. Great rookie season for him. He finishes per game number 9 in non-PPR and number 16 in full PPR. Explosive plays, good stuff. And what do you think about Eli Mitchell?
A lot of the same feelings I had about James Robinson. I never would have dreamed that Jacksonville was going to take a running back in the first round. So hopefully San Francisco doesn't take a running back in the first round. I do think that even if, though, like, we don't really expect they will, there's going to be some concern going into next year because it's Kyle Shanahan. And we see things change. We see rookies end up in the doghouse their second year. Now, that's generally been wide receivers. And Mitchell had his own injury problems this season. So I don't think he's going to rank as high as where he finished this year. But he's a good number 2 running back who should probably go in round 3.
Okay. Then we'll talk about the Kansas City Chiefs. Should Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce be round 1 picks, early round 2, late round 2? You tell me, Heath and Jamie, when we come back from this quick commercial break right now on Fantasy Football Today. The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive football stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
And we are back. And just so you know, it is the Bengals and Rams in the Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Just making sure everybody's on the same page there. All right, Tyreek Hill finished
it
as...
It sounds like you're rubbing it in, Heath. That's really
sounds No. Tyreek Hill was number 7 in non-PPR, number 6 in full PPR. He did play a game where he played just 18% of the snaps, so that hurt. He also had another game where he played just 42% of the snaps, so it hurt his season totals a little bit. Travis Kelce was the number 2 tight end in fantasy after five straight years as number 1 in full PPR. He was number 2 this year behind Mark Andrews. So they took some steps back, and where are they going? Small steps, by the way. Where are they going in 2022? Heath, do they make it into the first round in a 12-team PPR league?
I definitely think I will probably take Tyreek Hill in the first round of at least one PPR league, but I would anticipate that Hill's ADP is going to be early second round as a borderline top 5 wide receiver, and Kelce's ADP is going to be late second round, probably as the number 2 tight end behind Mark Andrews. And that's probably right. I'm a little bit more concerned about Kelce than I am Hill just because of Kelce's age, and he is at the point where any season now could be just the season where he falls apart. Now, he didn't really show a lot of signs of that. I mean, he took a baby step back. but I would say Hill is probably borderline round one. Kelce is borderline round two, but both of them end up in round two.
You think late round two is where Kelce's going?
That's going to be. I guess where he went in our mocks, isn't he?
No, he went round one and one, and round two and another.
Okay.
Where in round two? Let's see. January.
Early round PPR. Two. He went in top 15 picks in both drafts.
All right. I'm going to bring up the half PPR results right now, even though I
half asked. PPR, I think, is the round two one.
Okay. So let's take a look. And it's really interesting if you when we're doing this next season in July and August, people are looking at his regular season numbers, and the finish for Travis Kelce was really scary. He had five of his last six games or something. It was fewer than 30, 40. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I don't know. But the playoffs, he averaged 100 yards per game, 108 yards and a touchdown, 96 yards and a touchdown, 95 yards and a touchdown. So he was back to being Travis Kelce in the playoffs, and looking like a guy that should be a first-round pick. And in his first six games, okay, the way I look at it is if you look at Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill, the first six games of the season, they were incredible. And then Mahomes started slumping, and they started slumping. So I think people have to ask themselves, were the slumps from Kelce and Hill just a product of the whole offense struggling? Or was it something a little bit deeper, something a little bit more? I think when you look at the playoff numbers, and the first six games when they were on fire, it kind of suggests that it was mostly just the entire offense wasn't as good for a pretty substantial stretch. I don't know. How do you view it, Heath?
I think that's a fine way to look at it. Again, I'm not really worried about those last six games or whatever for Kelce. I'm just worried about the fact that he's going to turn 33 during the next season. And we've just not seen very many players maintain elite production at that point in their career.
So in the half PPR draft, Tyreek Hill went 12th to Heath, who then took Jamar Chase at 13th overall. I took Stephon Diggs, and Daniel Schneier took Travis Kelce. And the next pick was Deebo Samuel.
Yeah, I was mistaken. He went in round two in both those. He went 15 and one, 16 the other.
Okay.
So Kelce went before Andrews in that one.
Kelce went before Andrews in both.
How do you guys have it? Andrews, Kelce?
I do.
I had Andrews initially after the season, but after again watching what he did in the postseason, I'm still torn. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. I like to see what the Ravens do with their receiving core, and with their running backs back. But they should go back to back within a few picks, no matter which direction you go. I don't think they're both getting past the first 15 picks though.
Okay, let's do some news and notes here. The Raiders hired Josh McDaniels to be their head coach, and New England Director of Player Personnel Dave Ziegler is the GM now for the Raiders, so they're going all Patriots, which works for everyone.
So how many times are we going to hear in the next 6 months Hunter Renfrow compared to Wes Welker, Julian Edelman, and Danny Amendola?
This is one.
And Jacoby Myers.
Yeah, well, do you think it's a good thing for Renfrow? What's the fantasy impact here?
I don't know.
I mean, they need to figure out their outside receivers. Losing Ruggs, Zay Jones is a free agent. I don't think Bryan Edwards is going to necessarily become a great thing. He might become a good thing, but not going to live up, I think, to a lot of the expectations. I guess in the same vein, Heath, we're probably going to hear a lot of Darren Waller's Gronk.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's not bad in any event. That's their biggest area of need offensively, from a skill position standpoint. So probably will determine what happens there.
I think the biggest question that I'll have, and if they go get a true number one outside wide receiver, then we can stop making some of those comparisons, because it looks like they're going to do things differently than they did most of the time in New England. I mean, they had a couple of years, but I'll be very interested if they go add a true pass catching running back, or if it's just a compliment to Jacobs' guy, because they've pretty much always had a true pass catching guy in New England.
That's true. Now, there have been
James White.
I want to say five seasons where McDaniels has been a head coach or coordinator without Tom Brady. And here are where his offenses finished in points and yards. I shouldn't say his offenses, actually. It's his team, and it includes defensive touchdowns, which I'll get into. But in Denver, they were 20th in his first year in points, 15th in yards, 19th the second year, and 13th in yards. And then the following year, he went to the Rams as their coordinator. and they were last. They were 32nd in scoring and 31st in yards. Sam Bradford played 10 games that year, and then he got hurt. How about the last two seasons without Tom Brady? 2020, 27th in scoring, 27th in yards. But last season, or 2021, this past season, 5th in scoring, 15th in yards. They did score 5 defensive or special teams touchdowns, so that helps the scoring numbers. But look, it's a player's game, right? And then he has not had good offenses when he has not had Tom Brady. This year they were 5th in scoring, but they were 15th in yards. Does anybody really think they were a good offense? I don't know. Fine. But that's what it is. It's about personnel. Do you guys think Josh McDaniels can McVay it or read it? You know, can he be an offensive whiz that just takes the Raiders to new heights? Do you think he will be?
No, I don't understand the choice by McDaniels, who's been, you know, obviously, if the rumors are accurate and the Colts job was his, if he's been waiting for this, you know, ideal job. Clearly, I'm sure the money, I don't know if it's been released yet, but the money has got to be, you know, significant. And, you know, living in Vegas, you know, certainly has its benefits. And I wonder if it's going to become a destination for players. But you're now putting yourself in a situation where you don't have a long-term quarterback solution, because Carr is only a short-term quarterback solution. And you're facing Patrick Mahomes, is 26, who we know is going to be amazing. And Justin Herbert is, what, 23, 22? And, you know, he's going to be amazing. And if the Broncos get their wish and things work out, you might have to deal with Aaron Rodgers in the short term. I don't understand why he went there, of all places. Can he be good for Derek Carr and the Raiders? Absolutely. You know, you kind of just want to see, for our purposes, for fantasy purposes, don't rock the boat, essentially. You know, I don't think Derek Carr is ever going to become a clear-cut number one fantasy quarterback. He might creep into that conversation as the season goes on. Nobody's going to draft him that way. But keep allowing Josh Jacobs to do the things that he did at the end of the season. Keep allowing Darren Waller and Hunter Renfrow to do the things that they have shown you that they're capable of doing, certainly Waller. And that would be fun. And be fine.
Okay. We can react to Jim Harbaugh if he gets hired by the Vikings. They are interested in him.
Or the Dolphins.
Or the, okay. Well, I know he's got the connection with the new GM for the Vikings. The Bears. Oh,
the owner of the Dolphins, too.
Oh, sure, Michigan. But Stephen Ross said he did not want to be the one to take Jim Harbaugh away from Michigan.
If he's going somewhere.
Well, that's true. If he is going somewhere, it may as well be Miami.
My guess is I think there was a recruiting tie-in, something this weekend, if I'm not mistaken. And I wonder if it was go get the recruits and then come if you're leaving.
Well, yeah. Signing day, by the way, is Wednesday. I'm sure we will have amazing coverage of that on CBS Sports HQ. So please,
maybe that's
sure
what the signing day is Wednesday.
And okay, so we got a new offensive coordinator in Chicago. Green Bay quarterback coach Luke Getsy will be the offensive coordinator. Can we do anything with this? You know, what do we do with this nugget?
I will probably project the Bears somewhere halfway in between what LaFleur does in terms of usage and what league average is, and it's a complete and total guess, so no.
Okay. Green Bay promoted their offensive line coach / run game coordinator Adam Stanovich to their offensive coordinator position. Some more notes. Seattle has shown no interest in trading Russell Wilson, according to The Athletic. CJ Uzama left with a knee injury, and Tyler Higbee left with a knee injury. And those two teams, by the way, are playing in the Super Bowl, the Rams.
You forgot the biggest hire.
What?
We haven't talked to Giants.
We did last week.
No, we didn't.
Yeah, on Thursday. We had Daboll. We had the Giants and the Bears news, yeah. So I'm pretty sure. Yeah, we did. What, didn't we? All right, fine. What do you think about Daboll?
When was the hire?
I think you're right. I think we did. I think it was Thursday night or Friday or something. I think maybe we did.
Yeah, I think we did.
Okay. All right. Brian Daboll of the Giants. What do you think?
What do you think?
I don't care. I do not care. I just don't. I don't care. It's a players' league. You know, it's cool that he must have done some good things to develop Josh Allen. That's encouraging.
We get one more offseason.
The GM. We didn't talk about the Daboll hire.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We get another entire offseason to believe that Daniel Jones might be good.
Not me. You're not going to hear that from me.
Although, yeah, because this was, remember John Mayer at the GM, I'm going to mispronounce the name, Jim Schein?
Joe Shane,
whatever his name is.
Jim Schein, Joe Shane.
Joe Shane, yeah.
Joe Shane.
Jerry Sean.
When Joe Shad, when they hired him, Mara said, you know, this is what we talked about, you know, that Mara said, we screwed this kid up.
I know. It's enough excuses, but they have the 5th and 7th pick in the NFL draft. And I have seen enough mocks giving them 2 offensive linemen that it wouldn't shock me, including that center that's, you know, can't miss center prospect. So if they draft 2 offensive linemen at 5 and 7 to go with an emerging left tackle on Andrew Thomas, a healthy Kenny Golladay, a healthy Kadarius Toney. Yeah.
Healthy Saquon.
What?
Healthy Saquon.
Healthy Saquon.
That was a good debate, or not debate. I think John Bosch ran a bunch of Twitter polls about Saquon's dynasty value and like what's he worth in terms of draft picks, not now, but 1 year from now.
1 year from now.
1 year from now. So when you're looking at the 2023 class, what's Saquon going to be worth compared to those picks? And the winner in the poll was like the 6th pick in the first round of next year's rookie draft. And
winner
I'm not,
being like, that's the fair value.
That was the value where Saquon won versus the draft pick. The first 5 picks won versus Saquon. Saquon won versus the 6th pick. And it was like 55-45. So that was the closest one and the first one that Saquon won. I'm not sure I'd give up the 6th pick in this year's rookie draft to get Saquon.
Yeah, I'm with you. That seems extreme.
Well, you're hoping, I guess if you're getting up the 6th pick, you're hoping that he balls out this year.
Yep.
Which it's contract year. If they spend the 2 picks on offensive linemen and that position gets better.
But
obviously Dable's track record from a running game standpoint isn't the best, but you know, who knows?
He doesn't even like to run.
He also didn't have a guy like Barkley. He also doesn't have a guy like Josh Allen. So big differences.
I don't know about that Josh Allen part. You got a lot of potential with Daniel Jones.
And now you're all back in. I think the only way I would do that if I'm the 6th pick is if, like, what's happened to my dynasty team this last couple of seasons where I have a great roster and can still win now, but I, you know, had some injuries and struggled, that type of thing. You know, need a win now type of player. Otherwise, he's probably somewhere near the back end.
All right, we got a good question on Apple Podcast. It is from Alan in Boston. It sounds a little critical, but it was a 5-star review and he does love us. So I'll just start with the good stuff. Hi, guys. Love the show. Listen to every episode. All right, now it gets a little critical. I'm concerned with the mock drafts you guys are pumping out recently. I feel like you guys are not evolving with the game. And last year, it resulted in lots of bad draft advice. Please don't take this as criticism. I got to stop it there. I don't agree with the bad draft advice from last year, but I do think that it's a good question beyond this.
I love the, like, there's the last 3 words of the prior sentence, bad draft advice, which is like literally our job.
Yeah.
And then please don't take this as criticism. The very next sentence. That is I love that contrast.
What is the bad draft advice that we gave?
Here it is. Why, after everything we've seen, are you fellows suggesting that your listeners draft injured/aging running backs like Henry, Kamara, McCaffrey, Cook, Eckler, etc., over wide receivers like Adams, Chase, Kupp, Jefferson, and Tyreek Hill in the first round? I feel like you're all missing what's staring at you in the face. Receivers have become the point dominant position in fantasy football. In my opinion, only Jonathan Taylor should go ahead of the top receivers in the game. Remember, in 2010, everyone used to draft quarterbacks in the first round. Things change. Thanks for your time. And that is why I gave you that stat earlier in the top of the show that last year, this year, 2021, Cooper Kupp was the number 1 point scorer, non-quarterback. That's the first time.
Where was he drafted?
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. But that is the first time that has happened since 2015. 2015 was a terrible year for running backs. Since then, running backs have still been king. So that's the thing. Was this just a down year for running backs? I mean, it was, or was this start of a trend? So I do think he's got an interesting point. I mean, why would you take Alvin Kamara over Jamar Chase? You know, I think I have it ranked that way. You guys, I think, have it ranked that way.
No,
you don't have it ranked.
I was gonna say, I have Adams and Kupp 3rd and 4th in my top 24 from a month ago. That's not even, but it's the only thing that we've put out. And Chase, Jefferson, and Hill all in the first round. But like, this is the same thing that 2 years ago everyone was saying zero running back was dead, because it had been 2 years since we had good running backs come in off the waiver wire. And like, we just have to remember how small of a sample size 16 or 17 games is. Just because it happened last year does not mean that's what's going to happen next year.
Yeah. Now, I do think that the trend of teams throwing to their running backs less often does make this a more interesting discussion, because that is obviously going to make them less valuable in PPR. You know, but
well, I mean, yeah. To that point though, and again, it's tying in, so it's, you know, I guess, you know, you got to factor this in as well, but McCaffrey playing more, there's going to be a better pass catching running back for the majority of the season. The Saints getting a better quarterback, hopefully, will help Kamara's case.
But it's a league-wide trend, right, Heath? It's not as specific.
Yeah, but I mean, think about the guys that have gotten injured. You know, we lose James White, who is a good pass-catching running back. DeAndre Swift lost his, you know, what, six games, whatever it was, of what his reception total could have been.
No, what, he missed two games.
Four games, whatever it was.
It was at least four.
It was four games?
This is the same thing I said when you brought this up last time and you kind of dismissed it. So I think we're just a little bit on different sides of this one. But I do think that over the last 2 years even, but definitely this year, the pass-catching running backs, the guys who have consistently been over 50 catches, missed more time this year.
Okay. All right. So that, I think that's why the numbers are trending that way. I think
as an industry, and I think we certainly were part of this, which is why we were saying, don't necessarily go running back anymore. That's something that's probably the wrong route to go, and take one running back in your first two picks and then go heavy receiver and then try and backfill your second running back in your flex spots if you're going to go running back in the flex spot that way.
And I also just think if you're looking just at your first two picks and go back to last year, the wide receivers that were available at the you know, later stages of round two were so appealing, especially compared to the running backs.
We thought that this year, and they were all almost terrible.
I know. That's I know. It was Jefferson was there, but it was Metcalf. AJ Brown, Metcalf,
Robinson.
Jefferson. Yeah, Hopkins. I think more like Keenan, because Robinson was going in mid round three, but you know, Keenan Allen was there, but it was specifically those three: Jefferson, Metcalf, AJ Brown.
Yeah, but even the round three guys, it was Hopkins, McLaurin. Robinson, it was McLaurin. It was Metcalf. It was CeeDee Lamb.
Hopkins was round two. Hopkins was like...
Well, Hopkins was at the turn.
Hopkins, fine. Hopkins was in that Metcalf, Adrian Brown, Jefferson.
Diggs was in that group too.
Oh, you think Diggs was getting to late round two?
That's my recollection, but I don't know.
I mean, I'll tell you a second.
Yeah, well, anyway, it just... Okay, look, it didn't play out the way we thought, but they just looked like such layup picks. And so that, I think, was also incentive to go with running backs with your top five picks or something like that. But I mean, looking forward, I don't know. Are we going to be more wide receiver heavy in round one than we were last year?
Well, you have what, five, you said?
I have five, yeah.
Yeah, I have four. Diggs was the 17th overall pick.
Mm-hmm.
Based on ADP.
It's an interesting question.
20. Oh, Ridley?
Yeah.
Right, Ridley. I think that the appeal of the workhorse running back is hard to pass up, because if they do hit, they're just so hard to beat.
Yeah. Well, I think to his point, you know, it's like we're going back to injured guys, you know, as opposed to, you know, trying to necessarily find the next Jonathan Taylor, which is not easy to do. But, you know, it's you know, Dalvin Cook had a down season. But the touches were still, for the most part, there. And that's something you hang your hat on. Eckler had a great season. You know, I don't know if I put Eckler in this category.
No. Did he? He did not.
Yeah.
Oh, he did. Yeah, I mean, Eckler does get hurt a little bit, but he was amazing this year.
Yeah, but what, I mean, the one game that stands out that he missed was the COVID situation.
Yeah, he kept getting dinged up. He only missed the game.
This is Henry's first significant injury.
Right. It's true. All right, well, there's a lot to it, but it's a good question, and definitely criticism.
Yeah, but I'm not going to take it as criticism because he told me not to.
He was cool about it. Hey, you leave a five-star review, you can say what you want. All right, from Danny, here's an email. Danny's taking over an orphaned dynasty team, 12-team PPR, tight end premium. Does not know what to do. Last year, this team finished seventh, There is some early interest from a couple of teams for my top running backs, DeAndre Swift and Javonte Williams. Right now, I have offers. Give up DeAndre Swift and Laviska Shenault. Get Michael Pittman, Robert Woods, and a 2023 first-round pick, which would probably be
No way.
Not do that one.
Give up Javonte Williams and pick 206. Get Aaron Jones and Cordarrelle Patterson.
No, don't
do it.
Don't do those things.
Right, to go back to the last question, like, Javonte is going to be an interesting case compared to the wide receivers.
Mm-hmm. Well, hold on. Let me finish reading this guy's questions, though. I've thought about trying to counter with Clyde Edwards-Helaire instead of Woods.
Nope.
And or DJ Moore instead of Patterson. All right, that's more interesting. Would you give up Javonte and pick 206 for Aaron Jones and DJ Moore?
If Rodgers stays, then it's certainly a better trade, but I probably still would not do it.
Yeah, those are terrible trades.
Yeah, just looking at the roster, because he's got Swift, Javonte, Fournette, Kareem Hunt. He's got a lot of running backs. I would be trying to deal, and you're not going to get a lot for them, but trying to deal the Fournette, Hunt, Penny, like those guys for either tight end, because you only have Evan Ingram and David Njoku, or for wide receiver depth, because that's where you're weak. But I think, like, you don't have a bad team. You were in the middle last year, and Swift and Javonte are so young at running back that I don't think tearing it all down and rebuilding is a good idea. And you can't really rebuild because by the time you're good again, Swift and Javonte might be old running backs.
And so, he's got Trey Lance and Deshaun Watson. So,
do you have your trade chart yet, Heath?
I do.
What's the value for Fournette and Pittman right now?
Fournette. I think I have Pittman. I'm sure I have Pittman higher. I don't think it's probably closer than either of the two trades. No, I don't think I do. Very, very close.
See, like, that's something I would try and do is Fournette for Pittman potentially. Fournette is better now. Pittman should be better in the future. Pittman might be better next year. But if Fournette leaves the Bucks and ends up in a timeshare somewhere where he's just looking to get paid in Dynasty, I'd much rather have Pittman that way.
Yeah, and if you needed to throw in another one of those running backs, I would do that. I do have Pittman just slightly ahead of Fournette, but it's close enough to where I think
could just trying to get those other guys from you is ripping you off beyond belief.
Yeah,
don't do those things.
All right, good stuff. Thank you to Heath and Jamie and all of you for watching.
Who brought you your laptop?
Sitting at home.
Your wife?
Yeah. Oh, I finished Return of the Jedi.
So now you're through the first trilogy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So what have you learned?
Yoda's the best character in ever.
Okay.
I did a top 5 Star Wars characters list. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
Okay. Let me just get it queued up here. Oh, here we go. From 5 to 1. 5, Obi. 4, Obi Toppin, that is. 4, Han Solo. 3.
4?
3, C-3PO.
Oh, God, you're terrible.
2, Darth Vader. What's wrong with this list? 2, Darth Vader.
C-3PO's head of Han Solo.
I love C-3PO. He's the best. The movie falls apart without him. 2, Darth Vader, and 1, Yoda.
So did you get upset when he got shot in Empire Strikes Back?
Who? C-3PO?
Yeah.
I get upset every scene for C-3PO. He's always so nervous. Oh, dear. Like, I'm so
upset.
You are
definitely
the
C-3PO of...
100%. I see myself in him.
That you've seen
I want to hear what Heath has to say. Hold on. Go ahead.
We started watching Seinfeld from the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Like, season one Seinfeld has a lot of your mannerisms.
Season one of Seinfeld.
You and Jerry do a lot of the same things.
Okay, I don't know what you're talking about, but season one of Seinfeld is awful. Unwatchable.
And he has the exact same hair that you do when you don't get a haircut for a month. Andy always wears buttoned-up shirts with no belt tucked in, which I assume you do as well.
Never in my life have I done that. Never.
All right, so now that you've seen Star Wars, the first trilogy, do you regret not seeing it sooner?
Yeah, I think so. I can't decide if I want to watch the others or not because I liked it, but I didn't love it. I don't feel like I need to watch the others.
Well, so the prequels or the new
shows? Any of them.
There's just so many good shows on TV right now.
Well, I've already finished season 4 of Ozark, which is...
Have you seen The Mayor of Kingstown?
No, I haven't.
Have you seen Yellowstone?
No, I started 1883.
Have you seen 1883?
I watched 20 minutes of 1883.
Have you seen the new season of Billions?
No, I haven't.
Like, we have so many good shows going on right now.
Have we all finished?
Catch up from 30 years ago, though.
I know, right? In 30 years, I'll watch Billions again. Are we all caught up on Ozark? I won't spoil anything.
No, I'm right in the middle of season 4, so you cannot spoil anything.
You missed a very funny moment last week when Adam...
No, stop it. Enough with this.
No, I got to tell you, I want to see Heath's reaction. So he's like, guys, you don't understand. My wife, she was nice enough. She fell asleep, put my daughter to sleep. She fell asleep. And I just, and this was, correct me if I'm wrong, you meant, and I was, yes, I can finally watch whatever I want.
That is pretty much what I said.
What was Empire Strikes Back?
Well, yeah, I just, you got to carve out time. By the way, I did not see the last Darth Vader twist coming in Return of the Jedi of him. I mean, I did, I guess when Luke started talking about there's good in him, I was like, okay, maybe he'll turn good. But that was at least a nice surprise to me, because one of the problems is I knew.
I thought we said no spoilers.
For that, I think it's okay. I knew that Luke, I'm your father, and I knew that Leia was his sister and all that. So it was kind of, took away some of the fun, but. It was good.
So don't, if you're gonna watch the rest, don't watch the first one.
Just don't watch it. Don't I need to watch it?
Not really.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard it's awful.
Watch 2 and 3, mm-hmm. And then watch the new 3. The thing about the new 3 that's good is the technology is obviously updated. So.
And the new 3 takes place after Return of the Jedi.
Yes.
Okay.
Honestly, now that you're into it. Rogue One is one of the best movies you will ever see, independent of just the Star Wars story.
Which one is that?
Rogue One?
Yeah, episode what?
It's not an episode. So Rogue One is in between the first 3 and New Hope.
Oh, so it's episode three and a half?
Huh?
It's episode 3 and a half?
I guess technically if you want to put a number on it, yes.
Okay.
Because you have to qualify things.
Wouldn't Seinfeld do that?
It's how they steal the Death Star plans.
Oh. Oh, okay. And that's what she gives to Obi-Wan Kenobi. That's what she gives to C-3PO or R2 or whatever. At the beginning, yeah.
But that movie, independent of itself, if you never saw a Star Wars movie, you would still enjoy it.
Okay. You know what I think? I don't love shows or movies where the main character isn't one of the best characters. I don't really care about Luke so much. Did people feel that way, or did they love Luke?
Were the main characters isn't one of the best? I mean, like, not most beloved?
Yeah, like in Ozark, I mean, I love Jason Bateman. He's the best.
I really figured you'd prefer his wife.
No. I love The Shield, and Vic Mackey's one of the best characters ever. I love, Breaking Bad, main character is the best character. I love Jon Snow. I was a Jon Snow guy. I don't care about, like, Luke's kind of whatever. He's kind of a doofus.
I think he was a lot cooler 30 years ago.
I guess, but I mean, Han Solo should be the main character of Star Wars. Han Solo is the best. Yoda's the best.
Best line of any Star Wars movie. Do you know what it is?
No.
Heath?
No, I've seen the first 3 and that's it.
Oh yeah, you probably thought that Luke died in the beginning.
He did.
The best line ever. Is I know.
I know.
Yeah.
Han says,
when he's about to go into carbon, the freezing. And she says, I love you. And he goes, I know.
I know. I know. Yeah, that's a good line. Everybody knows all the lines because they've seen the movies 15 times and I still just once. All right. I think that's it for today's show. For good now. And what's the deal with the Super Bowl? Mid-February? We'll talk to you tomorrow on Fantasy Football Today.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Duzable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.